everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. With me, as usual, the retro witch herself and sometimes pain in my neck, Stephanie Bree. Hello. Stephanie!
Hello, everybody. How are you? It's Sweet 16 episode. I'm excited.
It is. So I have to ask every time.
Uh-oh.
How the hell are you?
I'm fantastic. I went to a drag show last night and got to meet a lot of gay people. It was fun.
And by gay, you mean happy, right?
I mean rainbow people.
Oh, rainbow people.
Lots of fun.
Rainbow people. I feel like that's slightly offensive
it
somehow.
It might be, but.
But.
Peers of ours.
Okay. All right, I can go with that one, I think.
I had a lot of fun. It was great.
Well, good. Posted pictures all over the Instagram and the Facebook and the Twitters.
Yes, and a short video.
And a short video.
There's a story behind that.
Well, I'll critique the video later. Anyway, like you said, Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
16th episode.
Holy crap.
I know,
right?
That's
a milestone.
That's like one more than 15.
I
don't know. I was
going
to
drink, but not legally.
Not. No. Doesn't stop some people. But this episode, as I choke to death here.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, everybody. We needed to do something special.
Yes.
We needed to do something big.
Sure.
We needed to have a personality on our show that everybody has been dying to hear from.
And as big as the internet is, she's still too big for the internet. Her personality.
And just way too badass for the internet.
And for our show.
And for our show. But ladies and gentlemen, our special guest for the entire damn show.
All 90 minutes?
All 90 minutes. AJ's here. Woo!
Push the button.
Hang on, I gotta push the button. There we go. Yay! AJ, how are you?
I'm good. You guys told me I got to blow something up.
Well, that's later.
Oh.
Later, love. Later, love. So, today, we are going to talk about a couple different things, but mostly what we're going to talk about is some of AJ's views on being the spouse of a transgender individual. So I've talked to a lot of people on Twitter that first off made me realize our relationship, love, isn't as anomalous as I had expected it to be.
Oh.
There seems to be quite a few people kind of going through what you and I are going through and what we have gone through that really ask me a lot of questions, and you know, I can give them from my perspective, but I can't give them from your perspective. So I figured, why not? Now, because I'm going to sit here and go all googly-eyed. Oh, look, AJ's on my show. Yay! Steph will probably be asking some questions.
Okay.
I will chime in.
Okay.
I may ask you a couple of questions. Like, do I look cute today?
She also sidestepped the fact that you guys are more normal than me.
Stephanie, everybody's more normal than you.
That's the goal. I am unique.
I thought that was a cautionary tale, not a goal. Anyway, so why don't we start talking? Steph, what's your first question for? Where should we start?
I want to ask AJ, and I want to get your take on this. You guys started out before she started transitioning. So what was that like when she came out to you, and how did you adjust to that, and what has it been like, you know, like how just as a person in love?
Oh, well,
lots to go there.
Yeah. Of course, the first night she told me was I was shocked. I was too exhausted to be too much in shock, but I was in shock for a while, and there was definite period of denial, of hopeful deni- way they were.
It's okay.
And, yeah, then just kind of a lot of unknown. That was the biggest thing of every day, just not having any clue of where we were headed. Because it took us a while, I would say.
It took us a long time.
Before we got to the point where we were like, yeah, we're going to stay together.
Yeah. I think part of the staying together, too, is we realized we really didn't want to be apart. At least on my end, I thought, you know, it was... I wanted you to be around, for sure.
I, you know, would have felt guilty because I've saved her like 5 times and then she would have died. And
literally.
Bad.
Literally no. Saved me. Literally saved me.
I have literally saved her, but no. Yeah, I just, you know, still being around her, she's still the same person she always was. So a lot of the traits that I fell in love with are still the traits. So that was, I think, a big part of it. I also, at this point, have to live as a right now. Robin will say, we're going to be together forever and ever and ever, and then even after that, which we probably will. But in my head, I still have to go, I'm happy right now. This works right now. I can't think about 10 years from now. I have to do it. This works right now, so this is what we're doing right now.
Okay, so obviously you were shocked.
Yeah.
Obviously. What were some of the big questions that probably ran through your head?
I guess, like,
hard to think about it now because it's been, what, 4 years?
It's been 4 years, and it kind of, like, was so overwhelming that it's like there was just, like, so many questions that they kind of just overwhelmed themselves. I mean, there was the big question of how is life going to change? How is intimacy going to change? And how much am I willing to give? How much compromise am I willing to give? And kind of focusing on both of us need to make sure we're still happy. So don't lose your happiness. And at first, when Robin first told me, then she kind of was in this depression for a couple weeks, a few weeks afterwards. And so I don't know how much she told. At the time, she told me I was working full-time, plus teaching 2 classes, plus taking 2 classes. So I was at work from, like, 8 in the morning to 10 at night, a lot of days.
A lot of days.
So,
a lot of days.
And so I was kind of tired, I think, which helped me. Being so busy helped me compartmentalize and not have to deal with everything all at once. I was able to, you know, when I walked the dog in the morning, I would think about it. And if I was going to cry, that's when I cried. And then when I got to work, I had so much stuff going on at work, I didn't have time to dwell on it. And so in that aspect, you know, there wasn't a lot of quick change. We kind of took things slowly. Yeah, one of the big questions was, are we going to be able to make each other happy? And, you know, she wondered if I wanted to stay with her. I wondered if she wanted to stay with me.
Yeah, that was a big deal, is do we still want to be together? And, I mean, for me, yeah, I was definitely all, yes, I want her to be part of my life. And stay with me. I mean, I like the idea of staying with her and being married to her. But at the same time, I did freak out numerous times and wonder about did she feel the same way? And you don't know. You really don't. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, like I said before, this has taken us 4 years to get to this point that we are today. And it's been a key part of, I know for sure, my transition is having to do things slow. Because, I mean, yeah, I could have jumped in and done like some people do. We see it on Twitter all the time. They're single. They just go. And yeah, yes, you. 6 weeks later, you know, they're done. And for me, it was, yeah, I could have done that, but I know for certain that would have freaked her out.
One thing that I haven't talked to as many people as you have on this, because it's not something I'm seeking out. Obviously, in your situation, you would.
Right.
But one of the things that people I have noticed, a recurring theme I've noticed, is there are people who are in similar situations but are slightly different.
Right.
Or they have a spouse who is okay with the love is strong enough, they're still there, but they're not going to let their partner transition until, you know, either kids are raised or down the road. Or, you know, let's take things slow. And I know you said you take things day by day or the right now, but clearly you just said you guys took this long to get here, but Robin is definitely transitioning. And she's already Robin. She's already she's already on hormones and other stuff. So when did you realize that you were going to be okay with letting her move forward? And, like, you know, like, when did that click in your mind that you were going to have a woman living in your house?
Well, it clicked in my mind that I would have a woman living in my house when, let's see, I think when she started telling other people. When, because for a long time it was me, her, and like two other people. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, now I told this person and now this person and now this person. So that's when it kind of became real. As far as how did I know I was going to be okay with anything? We still don't know.
No, we don't.
That caused problems, which is one of the things we kind of wanted to bring up, was that, you know, early on, you know, she may say, I hate having hairy legs. I want to shave my legs. Are you going to be okay with that? And I don't know if I'm going to be okay with it. And so that was it. And then, you know, 3 months later, we hadn't mentioned it again. She just couldn't take it anymore and she shaved her legs. And I was like, what the hell? You know, we're supposed to be talking about this. And we did talk about this.
3 months ago. Wait, no, that's not appropriate. No. Yeah, and I think we ran into that a lot where it was, I know I asked a lot of times, where's the line? What are you comfortable with? What is too much for you to handle? And the answer I usually got was, well, I don't know. So, you know, it's kind of, I let things kind of sit and in a way fester and be like, okay, well, she's not clearly not comfortable with this right now. And then I would sit back and wait for her to basically say, yes, I'm ready. I'm okay with that. No, I'm not okay with that. And we've had a lot of things where I'd ask that and it would be like, well, I have no idea. I don't know how I'm going to react to it. And so, you know, we had to kind of just do certain things, you know, first time with clothing and stuff like that, just to see. And I will say from my standpoint, that shit was anxiety inducing because you don't know if I'm going to put on a bra and she's going to freak out and go, yeah, I can't do this, pack your shit, get the hell out. You know, you don't know. Or if she's going to be the whole opposite end of the spectrum, which I'm not going to describe because, yeah, that's kind of what happens.
And I think, and my, you know, I am the worst liar in the world. Like, if I try and lie, I'm either going to fumble it or it's just going to be obvious. You'd be like, you dumbass, you're lying. So I don't try. And I had no idea how I was going to react to anything. So I was just kind of being like, I don't know. And at first I was scared. At first I was more afraid that I was going to not be able to get past it. And I will admit, the first time touching the smooth legs, that was kind of like,
yeah. Yeah, well, they used to be fairly gnarly.
So, you know, but now it's like the first time I came home and she was wearing makeup. We had no idea how I was going to react. It was just like a Tuesday. I was like, meh.
Yeah. And that's been the best things. Now, she also, when you tell her some things like that, or you do, or like when I do things like that, you kind of expect one of two reactions. You know, or you're hoping for one of two reactions. Either super happy and excited, or you're expecting maybe disgust and slight anger. I don't know. The hardest thing is when, like, the first time I'm wearing my makeup and she comes home, the reaction was, oh, okay, what's for dinner? And it was like, are you happy? Are you sad? And then after a while, it was finally, I'm just indifferent. Oh, okay. It's still me. All right. Whatever. And then you move on. And then it's like, okay, we crossed that. And what's the next bridge? And then I just kind of had to learn, stop asking. Stop asking what she's comfortable with. Because she doesn't know. And in transitioning, there's stuff that I don't know that I'm comfortable with. So it's kind of one of those, because you don't like to hear the word, I don't know. Nobody likes to hear that. I guess that's more than one word, though, huh? Wow, I'm stupid. No.
It's a single clause, so it counts.
Okay, it's a single. So, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of unknowns. And, you know, sometimes we have to just do those things and cross those lines and see what happens. Do I still freak out? Yeah. I don't freak out where everybody and their dog can see it. Yeah, I'm still freaking out. And I'm sure she still freaks out too when we find a bridge we haven't crossed yet.
Yeah. That did remind me, though, when I told my parents.
Yeah.
Finally, I told my parents finally at Christmas. I live in a very small farming community. And I told them, and my dad looks up and he goes, oh, all right. Goes back to what he was doing. And I was like jumping for joy inside, because for me, that was best possible scenario. That was like the best possible thing that could have ever possibly happened. And Robin was like, I'm kind of disappointed. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
I was disappointed. I can't believe I was disappointed in that, because yes, that was best case scenario. But at the same time, it makes so much more sense now when she doesn't react to things. Why she doesn't react, because none of her family does.
Okay. One of the things that kept me from transitioning for a long time, this is twofold. Part of it was I didn't want to hurt my dad, you know, because, you know, in his mind, I was his only son. And I didn't want to take that away from him. So my dad was always in poor health. So I was like, well, I'll just wait until he passes away and then I'll transition. I got to a point where I knew I couldn't wait for any longer. And I also thought, well, I don't want to wish my dad to die so I can go be happy, because that's mean and selfish.
Yeah.
So I got to where I was going to risk my relationship with him at the expense of being able to be going forward, but not knowing what it was going to cost me. And when I did that, what really pushed me forward was knowing that I was going to lose some family members. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, I don't want to lose my dad. Even if I lose him, he'll still be there. So I went forward anyways. And my question is, you were kind of talking about this with your family, but did you have any point where, but this is to either of you, did you have any point where you thought you couldn't go public with this? Like, it would just be a dirty secret you guys kept between yourselves. Not to say it's dirty, but you know what I mean.
Right. I don't think that was ever an option for me. It was going to be one of those things where somehow, some way, we had to figure that out. Or at least to me. I don't know, love. What did you think?
I spent a lot of time hoping it could be. That it could be when we're here at home. Whatever. And then I can just go to work and still be married to Robert, or go back home where my parents and family are and still be married to Robert.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I ever thought it could be, but I hoped it could be. And that was probably still part of me being in denial a little bit. But, and I was never afraid of my family shunning me for staying with Robin. I was afraid of them shunning her. And that just kind of creating an awkwardness all the time. You know, I think it would take a lot for my, you know, parents to disown me for anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is when we started going through this, one of my concerns, you know, being transgender, we face a lot of negativity. We face a lot of people who don't like us for absolutely no reason. And they can be very hate-filled and very mean. And I was never worried about any of that being directed at me. I didn't care. If somebody's got something nasty to say to me, that's fine. Come say it to me. Be prepared to get something nasty back. But I did worry, like, when everything came out in the wash, as we say, how would AJ's work treat her? How would the people that interact with her daily treat her? How would her family treat her? And I didn't want any of that negativity that might come my way to be directed at her. And I know we talked about this a couple times. She was a little concerned too about the same thing, but her family, people not being disrespectful and hate-filled towards her, but towards her family. And I think that made it one of those ways I could justify feeling anxious about letting everything come out. Does that make sense? Like, I could be okay being upset that it wasn't public knowledge, because in the end, I'm protecting somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it to protect her, doing it to protect her family, things like that. But I know that was definitely a big thing for me. And of course, everything comes out, and you know, we're human, so worst case scenario is definitely where your mind goes anyway, and none of that happened.
When you were starting earlier, we had said when you started going through this, I've heard Robin say this all the time, and it feels like there was a lot of love between the two of you, and you guys definitely had that. I know for you, you know, sticking with her and everything. Was there ever a point when you, as you started to see how important this was to her and how, like, real being gender dysphoria is, was there ever a point when you saw her taking your thoughts into consideration, holding back? Was there ever a point where you said, okay, that's her, how much she loves me? A lot of trans widows, they call them trans widows, the women who were married to trans women pre-transition, well, they get divorced and then they go on and they're like, yeah, that's... they go off and live their lives.
Yeah. I think there were a couple ways, like, and sometimes it would be like, yeah, she, you know, she's wanted to been taking hormones for a while, and I know that she hasn't started yet, because that was one of the big things, is you can't, if you go behind my back and start taking them before I'm ready, we're done. That's just,
yep,
that was just a line. And of course, when she started, I said, I don't know how I'll react, but we did it. But yeah, knowing that did sometimes make it feel like, oh, you know, she does care about my feelings. She does care about how I'm going to react. When she went and we stayed at my parents' house and this past, like, August, yep, and she had to still pretend she was Robert the whole time.
Yep.
Oh, should I have said that name?
That don't matter.
Okay. I don't know if they knew that name.
I don't know if they did either. I'm probably sure said it.
But
no, ladies and gentlemen, she's not dead naming to be disrespectful. It's okay. I say it's okay.
Because, you know, pretending to not be Robin and...
nice adjustment, my love.
She did that because she loved me. There's times where I kind of felt like she also wasn't ready to take certain steps, and she could blame that on me a little bit.
Never blamed you for once.
So we had that, but yeah, that I think that helped me too, of like, you're not, you know, you're willing to make this sacrifice for me, so you must actually care about how I feel about all of it.
Which, that is what it is. I mean, it's kind of cliche and kind of cheesy sounding, but, you know, like I say, marriage is a partnership. And yeah, I mean, having her being part of my world, and who knows, had I gone through the rapid change right then, right there, we may still be friends, but that's not where I want her to be in my life. That's not I love you, dear. That wasn't gonna be good enough for me. Okay? It's I didn't want the relationship to change. You know, I wanted to be just like kind of like we are. And so every little thing, even if it ate at me, and I wanted to bust a mirror or throw something, which I threw a lot of things, it was, take the steps, get her comfortable, because once she's comfortable, things are going to be so much better if I have her by my side.
And she knew when she threw stuff not to break any of my shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always throw your own shit. Never throw your spouse's shit. They kind of frown on that.
So my other question, my big one, and I don't know how you'll want to frame this, but when she started transitioning and you started going through all of this, where did your experience level with the LGBT community and what you knew come into play, and how has that changed, and how has your understanding of that community changed?
Well, I think I don't think it's changed a lot. I'm more aware of kind of how big the transgender community is. I mean, I have, you know, I work with lesbians, I work with gay men, I work, you know, so that I've always seen a lot of and been aware of a lot of, and that kind of a thing. I haven't been aware, like, I haven't realized how many transgender people there are. I guess I, at least, you know, as far back as I can remember right now, didn't have a problem with that. Of course, I never thought I would be in a relationship with someone who was transgender, but I think now I'm just more aware of the number, and also kind of a little bit more aware, of course, because living with people who are trying to be borderline activists, you find out about all of the laws people are trying to pass and that kind of stuff. So I think I'm kind of more aware of the struggles, but, and I still feel like an ally. I don't feel like I'm part of the community. I feel like I'm an ally. I can say I'm with a transgender woman, but I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah.
And for those who are sitting at home listening to this, or wherever you're at listening to it, I've seen it, and she is definitely an ally to our community. We can all consider her a friend.
Oh yeah, definitely a friend, for certain, to the community. Of course, a lot more to me, you know. Protector is what I go with. But then again, you'll punch anybody in the face if they make me cry. So,
oh, that's true.
So, well, you know, something else that we probably ought to talk about in this is, you know, we talked about our unknowns and reactions. But, you know, something I think that has really helped us into keeping the relationship, and again, it's kind of cliche, because you hear it all the time, is communication and how important that was for us to communicate. Like she said, there would be times I'd say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And we'd go 3 or 6 months and wouldn't even bring it up. And then all of a sudden, I have to take care of this issue because I can't do it anymore. And I think for sure our communication has definitely, one, improved, and is, two, evolved. And I think it's helped out just so much. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't even remember exactly when it was, but there was just a point where I was like, okay, turn off the TV, ask whatever questions you want to ask, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Instead of, on both sides of it, wondering, is this person going to freak out? Is this person thinking this? Is this person expecting this? You know, what issues do we have? What questions do we have? That kind of a thing. And we have gotten to a point where now we can do that. Now, oh, if I want to know something, I just ask it. If she wants to know how I'm going to react, she still asks, and I tell her I don't know, and then we do it anyways. but now it's more instead of saying, are you going to be, you know, how will you feel about this? It's, are you okay that we take this step? And that's huge. The communication thing is huge. And we did do a couple of therapy sessions together.
Yes.
We each go to therapy. We each have our own therapist.
Yep.
I suggest that if you're a couple, to each have your own therapist. I did go a couple times and see her therapist before I had one. And I don't know if she was or not. To me, it felt like my therapist was defending Robin to me. And so I don't know if she actually was, or I just felt that way. But so get your own therapist. If you want to go together to one, that's great. But each of you have your own.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, if the two therapists talk to each other about you, then that's fine too. But I think that helped us, because sometimes when I talk to my therapist and she'd be like, well, can you talk to Robin about this? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And she would kind of help work with me on, like, phrasing, so I didn't sound like I was attacking.
Yeah.
And kind of what to expect and what you're hoping for and that kind of thing. And that helped me bring up some of the conversations And now we do really well with it. But yeah. That's a huge... That's gotten... helped us a lot of just getting to that point where I can say, I need this from you.
Yeah. And I mean, I am not known for handling things well. I am not known for handling things with, William says, with a lot of tact. I am quick to snap to a reaction. And it's not that I'm like always quick to snap to anger or anything. I mean, I have, but I've been quick to snap to being defensive when she would ask a question, or snap into depression when she would ask a question. So yeah, when we started really talking, and we did like most couples do, you know, you sit on the couch and one of you asks the question and the other one stares at the TV going, uh-huh, yep, that's cool, plumber will be here Thursday, uh-huh, cool. And then nobody was asking any of those things. And so I do think when we turned the TV and things off and kind of gave each other undivided attention, I think that really helped. I think, like you said, the therapy is key. Couples therapy, I think, is a good thing if you want to try it. But I do agree, having a separate therapist from your spouse definitely helped, because you don't want one party in the marriage to go into a therapy session and feel like, well, this therapist really isn't helping me, it's helping my partner or my spouse or however, you know. I get tickled when she calls me wife. But absolutely, and communication is the thing. And I think it's honestly not just from a relationship standpoint, but I think the fact that I could communicate now with her helps me out in a whole lot of ways. Sometimes it helps me to deal with you, Steph.
Well, I just try to bring joy to your lives.
You try, but most of the time you're bringing chaos.
Chaos, well, joy.
Same difference, right?
Well, on that note, this is something I was thinking about, and I didn't put it on the list because I wanted to get a natural reaction. And we've already talked about how... I told you there'd be a curveball.
I know, she's blindsiding me again.
I told you how I was... We've talked about how there were things that you had questions about, you were hesitant, you took it day by day. Was there ever anything in this discovery that you said, you know what, I like this. This is cool, this is fun.
Her boobies.
Yeah.
Well, they are a lot of fun. Not hers, but I mean tits in general.
Yeah, that was weird. The hell is wrong with you?
Oh, I always have to clarify my statements. Rob, every time I open my mouth, Robin's like, please finish that sentence.
Oh, dear Lord.
The makeup. Well, and to be honest, I did have to get Robin past the looking like she was going to the club with her makeup.
Uh-huh.
It was definitely...
It was bad.
It was definitely 14-year-old sneaking in the club makeup.
Yeah, it was very bad.
I was just kind of like, meh, whatever. But the one day I rolled over and she was standing there and I was like, you have girl boobies.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, turned me on a bit.
Thank God, because I was afraid that was going to turn you off. I was afraid she's going to look at me and go, oh, dear God, I can't even deal with this.
Because that was a big unknown, taking hormones, you know, when you start looking more feminine.
Right. How are you going to react? Are you still attracted? And I think I'm very thankful that, you know, she says she doesn't consider herself a lesbian, but she's still attracted to me.
I don't like other people's boobies.
You don't like other people? No, I mean, in fact, was it Christmas time or whatever? She texts me from a airport in Nevada.
Utah.
That's right. Utah.
Salt Lake.
And just sends me this text saying, it's only your boobs I actually like. And this lady had walked by me with these ginormous knockers and it did nothing for me.
Yeah, there was a woman sitting across from me and she was falling out of her top and she had some huge boobs and I was just like, put those things away, lady.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good. As far as my end, we can't talk about that. I can't answer that question. We've already said I gotta behave some.
Oh.
But yes, there are definitely things, even when I hit each milestone, her reactions are the biggest thing because we haven't hit a negative one. Now we've hit that, oh Lord, what are you doing?
That was the day I moved in.
That's been every day for 4 years.
That's what she's texted the divorce lawyer. Are you still available?
Are you still available? We have a bag of cats now. No, but you know, like she's been when I did the makeup and my makeup was bad, and I can look back on it now and go, yeah, that was just horrible. Really was. What the hell was I thinking? And this is where I say, YouTube is not always helpful, people. Mm-mm-mm. That's where I got all my advice was YouTube. Because I was scared to ask her. And one day she just, blunt as could be like, dear, you cannot be looking like you just crawled out of a club. And when I look in the mirror, I go, oh, yeah, that's awful. But there have been a lot of things that have excited me, like going shopping with her for the first time. That I think was a big surprise for me. I didn't, you know, I mean, yeah, I kind of like to go shopping. First off, she don't. She kind of hates it. Get in, get out. But it was kind of an interesting thing because I really enjoyed it, even though the first time we went shopping, it wasn't.
We went to Lowe's to get dirt.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about the Lane Bryant
day. Oh, okay.
Where we first went out after, you know, looking for my first set of female clothes, women's clothing.
Yeah, she was still hiding in public at that point.
Yep.
So we're like picking out clothes and I'm holding them up to me like they're for me, for her to decide if she wanted them or not. But that made her. She's easy to make happy.
I am.
I buy her a girl shirt. She was all upset one day, freaking out after I had to leave work early. I'm like, problems, having some nervous breakdown. I don't know. And my boss texted me later and asked me if everything was okay. I'm like, yeah, she got her ears pierced. I told her she was cute.
Done.
She's happy now.
She buys me something shiny or it doesn't even have to be shiny. She just, you know, here's a $3 shirt from the clearance rack of Walmart. And I'm like, yay! Great!
Not shiny, but pretty. Pretty helps.
Yeah, it does. And or she, like she said, oh, you look cute. And that's it. That's it. I can be ticked off at the world. And she can just say those little things. And part of me goes, damn, I'm easy. But then I realize, no, I'm only easy for her. You know, if anybody else tries to pull that crap, that ain't gonna happen. But yeah, it is.
It's like that Monopoly box I bought that you gave me shit for buying.
Oh, dear God.
It was one of those things that it was like, it served absolutely no purpose, but it was the cutest little box.
Oh, God, she's killing me. She really
Sometimes
is.
You just need to buy something that's cute just to turn your brain into okay mode.
Yeah, so, I mean, going shopping with her was kind of interesting, and you brought up the Lowe's thing.
That was the first time we went out with you dressed.
First
as went a
out,
woman.
As I went out in full girl mode for the first time, and it wasn't, you know, it was Lowe's. It's not like we're going out anywhere, and it wasn't like I was dressed anything fancy. I wasn't wearing a dress. I was wearing yoga pants and a tank top with a sports bra. you know? And of course, the famous sad hat. But
that hat's had some life.
That hat, has seen some things. It's like a Vietnam vet. It's seen some things, man. It's seen some things. So, what was it like going out with me, like, in that mode for the first time?
For the first time, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous about... I was still having... I guess you have, like, the kind of two levels of issues. You have the, is someone going to come up and be angry because she's trans? And they can tell she's trans, you know, is there going to be hate from that? And also, even if she's, you know, even if people can't tell she's trans, we are in a conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
If we're holding hands, are we going to get held for being a lesbian couple? So the first couple of times, I didn't hold her hand when we went somewhere.
No.
And I was kind of aware of my surroundings and aware of people watching us, and I was a little nervous. I think after that, though, I was fine. I have anxiety anyways, so I have my own coping mechanisms when I go into a busy store, and I'm kind of oblivious to what goes on around me. And so as I got more used to Robin looking like Robin in makeup and stuff, and where that is now the normal for me, I don't realize when people give us funny looks in the store, and I don't think about it. I just, because for me, it's normal, and I'm already in my little cocoon when I go to the store, so I don't.
Which, and for me, I'm still paranoid, though it's not as bad. You know, as trans individuals, we kind of look over our shoulder, but you do reach a point where you don't really, you notice glances, you notice things like that, but you just don't give a shit anymore, and you're just, I'm out being me, and that's all it is. So yeah, I'm kind of hyper paranoid anyway, even before coming out being transgender and everything. I don't walk into any place I'm not 100% positive I'm walking out of. I do get where I'm looking around and seeing, hey, is this person looking at me? But I also know while she's in her little zone to deal with her anxiety when we go to a grocery store, the home improvement store, wherever we go, part of something that gives me a little bit of confidence is knowing that she is kind of quick to spring into action, and you know, if I give off the right vibe or just make the right sound or word, she's gonna swing around and realize what's going on or something, so I don't have to worry about I'm outgunned or I'm surrounded, which, you know, paranoid people, we worry all the time. That's, we don't see we're out in public, we see we're surrounded.
And I can tell usually when she's getting more nervous somewhere because she gets closer to me.
Yep.
When we're at the fiesta, and I was like, lines were long, we're standing in lines forever, and she's just like getting closer and closer and closer, and then she's like up against me, like completely.
Starting to go all octopus mode where I'm like wrapping around her just to try to feel safe. And it's like, I don't know what the hell is going on.
And so then I kind of try, you know, I try and keep a little more of an eye out in case there is an actual threat and not just a Robin being Robin threat.
Because a threat to me is a lot less severe. It could be somebody rolled their eyes at me or just used a single word, and that may not even have been about me. That might have been something they were looking at on the store shelf, but it's kind of weird, and I'm like, no, you know, just whatever it is. So yeah,
if a person walks past her three times in the grocery store, it's a
thing. And they may not have even looked at me. They may be just, it might just be one of those weird things where we happen to be going down the same exact aisle, but they've passed me three times.
They're probably looking for the Velveeta, because you never know where the hell the store puts the Velveeta.
They never put it in the same damn place, do they?
No. No store has the Velveeta in the same place. There's no sign that says Velveeta, so they're probably looking for the Velveeta.
So, anybody who works as a store owner, or you have pull at a major grocery store, create a Velveeta aisle.
Or at least a great big sign.
Or something.
That says, it's here.
Here. This is what you're looking for.
Or a consistent spot. Is it in the refrigerator section?
Yeah.
Is it in the Mexican section? Like, consistency.
Yeah. So.
So have you ever found yourself becoming what I will call an unintentional or inadvertent accidental activist? Whereas you've been in a situation where you had to speak out for trans people. Whereas before you may have just like, wouldn't have even been on your radar.
Not really. I do now when I see an article that's either positive or negative that involves the trans community, I will, because Stephanie gave me access to the Transpose podcast Twitter, so I will copy it up there. So I think I try and spread awareness a little more. I guess I could say, because I have a cousin who is trans, and some people in my family have talked some smack, and I have felt more inclined to
tell them to shut the hell up.
Yeah, to kind of be like, hey, you know, you don't really get it. I usually don't have to. I have a niece who is very much a little activist, and she will be right on top of that about, you know, everything. So,
and she better never change. I love that about her.
Oh yeah.
So, before we get into our next part, which is the fun part, there is one other thing I think we need to do. And that's kind of talk about the relationship dynamic. Because I feel like there's going to be a lot of people asking, did things in our relationship really change? And by that I mean, did they think things like gender roles, did that really change much? And if they did, was it something that was easy to get over? Was it not easy to get over? I mean, in my opinion, my mind, the stuff we can't talk about definitely changed. But I don't think in a traditional day-to-day relationship, I don't really think our dynamic changed all that much.
I don't think it did, but we didn't take on, I guess, what you would consider traditional gender roles anyways. I've been the breadwinner our whole relationship. I would rather mow the lawn than do the dishes.
I do the dishes because I can't push a lawnmower.
So I think I took on more of the masculine roles anyways. There are certain things that I guess you'd probably consider more the man's role that I still make Robin do, like when there's a dead bird in the yard. Robin has to dispose of the dead bird, not me. Not going to do it.
I would cry if I saw it.
And so there's those kind of things. I think part of the biggest change is Robin's much more snuggly than she used to be.
Much more snuggly.
But some of the stuff, like at first, she wanted me to put my arm around her. She didn't want to put her arm around me.
Right.
She wasn't comfortable with that. And I'm just like, you have to give something to.
Yes.
That you don't get to just be like, well, I'm the girl now, and since you're not very girly, you're the boy now, kind of a thing.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'm not real girly, but I'm still a girl, and I still have my...
still, like, certain girly things.
I'll snuggle up to you sometimes. You snuggle up to me sometimes. So I think it was that kind of stuff that we just had to make sure got more an even Stevens kind of thing.
Yeah, that for sure.
But mostly, I don't think there was a lot of change just because we never really fit the mold of the typical girl stuff anyway.
Nope. So, what if you could give someone listening, because I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this one, because, you know, people talk to me on Twitter, and hopefully they're listening with their spouses. That's how I've been promoting it. If you're going to listen to this episode, listen with your spouse if you're going through what you and I have gone through, love. What's a piece of advice you could give them?
So the two biggest things I would say are the therapy and the communication.
Communication.
Like, you have to have someone that you can talk to things about, like, especially at first, when very few people knew what was going on. And Robin's like, well, you know, my friend knows this, you can talk to him too. Well, I don't want to talk to your friend. I don't feel comfortable that what I'm going to say, if I want it in confidence, isn't going to come back
right
to you. But I didn't have any friends close enough that I could tell them. So I just really had no one. And so having a therapist, that helped a lot, that I could just let out some of the stuff. I could, you know, vent if I needed to vent, ask questions. And then communication, and in both directions. If you have a question, ask it. And if you get asked a question, don't get defensive. Don't get jumped to, I'm being asked because they're against it or they're for it or anything. Just, you know, we want answers. We want to know things are going. Also, if someone's going to start taking hormones, it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
I live with two 13-year-olds going through puberty.
Yes. That is very accurate.
There can be normal days. There can be tears because their zipper broke, you know, or the grilled cheese got a little too dark. So have patience and just be aware whether you're the ones on the hormones or the ones near the person on the hormones, that there will be some days. And I'm assuming it goes the other way for people who are now taking testosterone. You probably got the 13-year-old boy feelings going through puberty. So it can be a little rough road sometimes.
Yes. I cannot say I haven't thrown something across the kitchen because the grilled cheese was a little too dark. Good advice. I think my thing would be communication. Communication is key. Don't keep things bottled inside, but don't be defensive or talk to people when you and your partner, spouse, when you talk about things. Don't come at it aggressively and don't be defensive about it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to say things in a wonderful, eloquent way. And some things can be taken as in, well, what the hell? So just understanding and patience, I think. Patience has been a big thing for me. That's been a big thing to learn for me, because I has none. I have no patience. Both of these individuals sitting here with me right now can attest Robin has no patience. None.
And I have put that to the test.
Multiple times.
I think the other thing I just thought of is give yourself space and time to process. I have always just found it nice to just go for walks, to just clear my head. And that's kind of a time I use to process stuff. And then that allows it too, when I'm at work and I'm not focusing and I wasn't focusing on it 24/7. I think if I had to focus on it, you know, and it can be in the back of your mind and it can pop up throughout the day, but you need time to process things and you need to have your space away from it, even if that's just, you know, going in the other room, having quiet time to yourself, something like that. Just make sure you don't have to know all the answers right now. You don't have to plan ahead. just take it day by day if you need to, and just kind of process as it comes along.
Yeah, take it day by day. Definitely don't smother. In order to process things, we all kind of have our own coping mechanisms. And you do need time to breathe. And you need time to breathe away from others. I love AJ to death. And I go into octopus mode more times than not. And sometimes she just needs me to not do that. Because she's got to process. And it might seem hard, and you might want to jump in there, especially trans individuals. You might want to be right there by their side 24/7, 365, wondering what they're, you know, don't fall into the stereotype girl joke of, what you thinking? Don't do that. Let them have time to process, for certain, because it's hard. It really is. It's very hard. But if you work at it, you will make it. You will make it. Not just your relationship won't just survive, it will thrive, I think. At least I know ours is.
Yeah.
Much better. So, yeah.
One thing I wanted to say, this is to both of you, but to you specifically. One thing that I personally saw, and it really helped me a lot with a lot of my gender dysphoria when I first started picking on Robin for not being feminine enough. She would always throw out there, well, AJ's, and then she would finish her sentence with, you know, the same, you know, this, like this or that or whatever. And I've seen, like, you know, I have a lot of friends who are women, cisgendered women, who are the same way. And it really helped me see, you know, kind of, okay, you know, we're going through a lot of changes right now, but, you know, like you guys said, you guys don't take on traditional gender roles. And then within that, I've noticed Robin is the cook in the family.
Yep.
And she does better cooking than I can. I haven't burned the house down, so we know I'm not cooking.
Yeah.
I'm a better cook. I just work too much.
There you go. But the other thing...
I love you, but no.
The other thing that I've observed, and this is something I wanted to say, is you guys are definitely... like amazing people. You're not just an ally to Aww. The community, you're family to me. And I wanted to say that you guys are both great role models for people that are out there, not just for people in our community, but if you want to be like somebody, be like these people.
See, she has to go and she has to make it all sappy and shit.
So do you.
I did too, yeah.
Blame it on the hormones.
I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you, Steph. So, enough sappiness.
Yeah.
Enough.
Uh-huh.
Enough. I'm diabetic. Don't put me in a coma.
In celebration of today's topic, did you notice I brought a McDonald's chicken nugget to the table?
Oh, dear Lord.
But the
Lord.
Chicken nugget is missing because I lost her, but her hat is here because it's a witch and I'm a witch.
words failed. I so many layers. I don't even know. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time
for the best part of the show.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the best part of the show. Okay, it's definitely the most out of control part. Yeah. It is time for our weekly top five.
But this one's special.
This one's special. AJ picked this one.
Well, she picks a lot of them.
Well, that's...
Her head's full of ideas.
That's true. She is way smarter than the two of us. Combined. What are you doing?
Building
a... Oh, she's putting a box in front of her phone so we can't see. Forgetting I'm half blind and I can't see that far anyway.
You do you, I do me.
Okay. This is where I go, no, AJ does me.
I put my fidgeter across the table so my brain is unwinding. Let's get this show on
the road. So today's top five... as chosen by AJ, is OMG, that's good. Now, disclaimer, because it is us. We have limited this to food.
Edible food.
Edible food. Like anything you eat is actually edible. If I didn't cook it, I'm not sure it is edible. Oh, so, yeah. All three of us are going to be doing our top five. Yeah. So why don't we... Let AJ go first. Well, what is your number five? OMG, that's good.
Okay. First, I have to throw out here that these guys do not have the same relationship I have with food because they kept forgetting theirs. And I'm like, if you eat something that's so yummy, then they're like, oh my God, that's so good. How do you forget it?
I have an answer for that, but I won't say it here.
These, they also change for me because I like food and sweet stuff happen to take over. So mine are all, I could have had a top five sweet and a top five savory, I guess, but we just have top five and it ended up all being sweet stuff. So number five is the cheesecake from Costas. Costas is a Greek restaurant in DFW. I know there's at least two of them still.
Yep.
And they have amazingly good cheesecake.
Good cheesecake. Good cheesecake.
I love cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. I like good cheesecake. Okay. Cheesecake from Costas. Costas. Okay.
Never heard of them.
I'm not a fan of Greek food, so we don't normally eat there.
If you are a fan of Greek food, or you just want to try it, try the Greek combo from Costas.
They need to cut us a check now.
Yes, $29.95.
All right. Steph, you're number five.
So mine was actually a surprise for me because I don't like seafood. I don't like shell foods. I don't like anything that comes out of the water except for tuna fish.
Shell foods? You mean shellfish?
Let me talk. No, there are. Never mind. Anyways, so I was at a redneck party and they were eating a bunch of crawfish or crawdads, whatever you want to call them. I don't know the words. And I was like very hesitant because I don't eat bugs and these look like bugs. They do not look like seafoods. And I won't even eat crab because, you know, it looks like a gigantic spider and I hate the spiders, except for that time I ate crab and I was like, okay, as long as you don't tell me it's crab, I can eat it. But getting back to the story, I couldn't touch the crawfish because it's a, you know, it's a bug. And so my niece opened up a bunch of them for me, put them on a plate, and I was immediately amazed at how delicious they were. I wanted to just eat them all, the whole big giant redneck bucket. And I don't know what you call that thing that they cook them in, but I wanted to eat every one of them. They were so delicious.
It's a big pot, usually a kettle of some sort.
No, it was some big giant thing. They cooked it outdoors. They're rednecks. They cook outside.
Should I tell her what we call those things here?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason. We call them mud bugs.
Yes, I know. And nasty. And now you ruined it for me. Thank you.
Oh, no. I can do worse.
No. Shh, stop. I will puke, and you've seen it.
Okay. So, my number five is from one of my favorite restaurants that's, I'm pretty sure it's defunct because I can't find one here anymore.
Uh-oh.
They used to be everywhere. And it was why I was fat the first time. And that is the world famous Tony Roma's ribs.
Never heard of them.
Of course she hasn't. Ugh. Jesus. Those ribs were the absolute best that I had ever had. And all you people with your Chili's baby back ribs, just shut the hell up. You haven't had good ribs till you had these. Sadly, there's none around here anymore. There used to be one way down in San Antonio, but even I hear that one's gone, which... woe is me. But whatever. If anybody who happens to listen to this show is part of the Tony Roma's organization, company, and it's not completely defunct, build another one in DFW, for God's sake, please. All right, so, love, what's your number four?
Cinnamon roll cookies.
Oh, wait, what the what?
It's We're going shopping after this.
Cinnamon roll flavor in a cookie form with cream cheese icing.
Oh, we are still going shopping after this.
Yes. I had some at Thanksgiving. The day before Thanksgiving.
Oh. Who made them?
Z.
Oh. Ooh. three, she's a pretty good cook.
Three of my top favorites here are made for me by three of my different nieces. This one, she didn't make them for me, but she's supposed to give me the recipe because they were really good. It was, I took a bite and said, oh my god, that's good.
Yeah. Your family are very good cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Cinnamon roll cookies. Okay. Yep. Steph, number four?
So, mine also, number four, comes with a story because they do.
Of course.
So, I was at a friend's house, and my favorite food of all time is spaghetti. I eat spaghetti a lot. I love all kinds of it, but my favorite spaghetti I can't eat here because y'all can't eat it. But I love spaghetti. Well, because of the onions and other stuff.
Right. Food allergies, everybody.
And I like other Italian foods, but spaghetti is like the food. And I went to this friend's house with my sister and her kids. They invited us over. You know, this was way back in like 06 or 5 or 3, somewhere back in there. Way back in the day when I was still in Idaho. And she cooked this food that I had never heard of up to this point. You know, because we're trailer trash and we don't go out to eat often. And so she served a plate of manicotti, and I was like, oh my god, this is like the greatest thing ever. I don't like spaghetti anymore. I want to eat manicotti all day long. And then my sister tried to make manicotti, and I was like, I'm over it. So I have discovered that it's much like spaghetti in some ways, that it's like you can fuck it up and that ruins it, or you can get a really good one and it's like, oh my god, this is like delicious. But that's the only time I've ever had manicotti where I was just like blown away. Every other time I've had it, it's just like, it's lasagna, but they roll it up instead of slice it.
Yeah.
But this person did it. I don't know what they did special, but it was just like delicious.
I don't think I've ever made manicotti.
It is a pain in the ass.
I haven't made that. I do a lot of Italian cooking. I don't know why, because I'm not Italian.
It feels like a fancier lasagna for some reason.
I guess so. I mean, AJ's heritage is Italian.
I'm a quarter Italian.
She's quarter Italian, yeah. So maybe that's part of it, why I cook so much of it. But you're right. I will say this about like spaghetti and Italian food in general. There's a lot of stuff in Italian cooking that is easy to make, but it is just as easy to fuck up. Spaghetti definitely being one of those. It's not hard.
If you let me do the spaghetti and you don't let me do it my magical way, yes, it'll be the fucked.
Yeah, so. Okay, so nice. My number four is a dessert that, unfortunately, surprise, surprise, they don't make it and they don't serve it anymore. But it is something I ate a lot when it was around. It was from, at the time, one of my favorite restaurants before I had even discovered Tony Roma's. But this was like, when we went, this is what made me excited to go. It's from Chili's. Not a fan of their ribs, but damn, they had this thing called the High and Mighty ice cream pie. It was a ginormous pie slice that was made with peanut butter ice cream on a graham cracker crust, drizzled in chocolate, and something I don't normally eat. In fact, I don't really care for it. Caramel. I'm not a fan. I don't really like that at all. But that shit was tasty. And they don't make it anymore. But it was, oh my god, that was good. That's all I can say. It was so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my number four. Now everybody's looking at me like I'm a weirdo. Of course, how's that different from any other day? So, love, number three.
Okay, so I like French toast. A lot of different French toasts.
Yep.
And one day my mom had this. Well, first, I didn't do it when I was a kid. I do it as a grown up. If I go to the grocery store with my mom, I throw stuff in her cart that I want.
It's quite entertaining to watch.
So there's a bakery called Alpine Mills. and they make cinnamon chip bread. And when I go to her house, we go buy some cinnamon chip bread so she can make me French toast with it. But then one time I go to her house and she had made some homemade cinnamon chip potato bread. And if you haven't had potato bread, it doesn't taste like potatoes. It does have some mashed potatoes in it and some water. It makes it really dense and really moist. And it has cinnamon chips in it, and she makes homemade syrup. And oh my God, that was the best French toast I have ever had in my entire life. And now every time I show up, I'm like, do you have some of that cinnamon chip potato bread? Can we make some cinnamon chip potato bread?
Yeah, she will sit there and bug her mom, hey, can we make the bread? I would really like to have some for French toast. And her mom usually goes, okay. All right, Steph, number three.
Oh, we're on number three. Okay, I lost count. I didn't put any desserts on my list. Apparently, y'all have had some desserts. But my number three is as close to a dessert as you're going to get, but it's one of those, it shouldn't be as delicious as it was because it sounds pretty basic. But my grandma, who's passed away, by the way, made these cinnamon biscuits. But of course, you know, my grandma grew up on a farm, so she comes from the old world where, you know, like you make everything from scratch. And when I say scratch, she grew it, she made it. And she made these cinnamon biscuits that it didn't matter. It didn't matter if we were having, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or if you were just having pizza for supper, she would serve these cinnamon biscuits. You had to have these cinnamon biscuits. You went to grandma's and we're eating cereal for breakfast and cinnamon biscuits. They were delicious. I've never even seen them. You go to a restaurant, they're not on the menu. So I don't know if this was like, I mean, she also had cinnamon pickles because she had a lot of cinnamon. Those are delicious too, but that's another story. But the cinnamon biscuits were like, again, you know, she had homemade butter. So she made them with homemade butter and homemade, everything was homemade, all of it from scratch. And it was just like, you put that in your mouth and you're like, okay, they should have sent these to Adolf Hitler and we would not have had a Holocaust because he would have sat down and been like, this is so delicious. We just have to call world peace. They were that good. Too bad she's passed away now. So the recipe died with her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Very delicious cinnamon biscuits.
I'm glossing over the Hitler thing.
I had a better analogy, but it was dated, and I thought I'll just use the one people know.
Okay, sure.
They're that good.
Okay. Yeah, all right, moving on. So my number three, if you know me, you know pizza is one of the top things in my diet. I love pizza. Pizza, like spaghetti, when you do it right, oh my God. But you can also fuck it up. I was surprised. I have a tie on my number three. Both of these are pizza. One I recently... Well, I guess I've kind of both discovered them recently. One was a place down in Houston we went to called Russo's. And they make everything from scratch. I mean, that's what they... It's plastered on their windows, everything. The sauce, the crust, everything is made from scratch. And that pizza, it was just so good that even when we were both full, AJ and I, we still kept eating it. That's how good it was. It's in a tie with another pizza place way out in rural ass Panguitch, Utah. Not a place I would have thought anybody would have a remote clue how to make pizza, other than you get a Red Baron and you put it in an oven. Place called C-Stop. And when I tasted that pizza, I had a literal, oh my God, this is freaking great. And it was good. And I don't know, do they make everything from scratch too, like Russo's?
I think so. I don't know.
It tasted like it. But yeah, those two are definitely my number three OMG that's tasty moment was those two pizzas. You're number two, my love.
Okay. First, I'm going to expand a little on this number three.
Uh-huh.
The sauce, that's mostly what made Russo's. Russo's is their sauce. It's fabulous.
Absolutely. Oh.
See, stop. Robin really only eats pepperoni and sausage on pizzas.
Carnivore.
C-Stop is out there near Bryce Canyon National Park. So if you go out to Bryce Canyon National Park, you'll probably have to go through Panguitch. So you can go to C-Stop. I recommend their chicken bacon ranch pizza.
People out west know how to do ranch good. I'll tell you that right now.
That is a super fabulous pizza.
I don't know that they could mess up a pizza.
No, probably not.
I don't know.
All right. My number two. The original recipe for it was red velvet chocolate pie.
Okay.
So, a very chocolatey pie. My sister was not going to go buy red food coloring just to make a chocolate pie red. So, it didn't end up being red. But then another niece, she kind of tweaked it, added a little more chocolate to the already chocolatey chocolateness. And I call it the dark chocolate pie. I guess it doesn't really have a name because she just kind of makes it however she feels like making it. But she makes it for me for Thanksgiving every year now. So she probably regrets making it because she can't make other things because I'm like, I don't care what else you do. Just make that chocolate pie. There are two pies that they're the only things I will eat at Thanksgiving. And we have like as many pies as we have people at Thanksgiving.
And there's a lot of people.
And there's only two. But until those are gone, I don't want anything else. The other one we'll talk about in a minute because it's my number one.
Is this another one? Is this another one Z made? Or T? Oh, yeah. She's good, too. She's good. Okay. Dark. We'll just call it that now. Dark chocolate pie. So, if you're listening, T, which I don't think you are, but you should be because I think your mama listens. Yeah, that's its new name. Dark chocolate pie. Because AJ says so. Auntie AJ. Yes? Yes. Okay. you're number two, Steph. What you got?
It also comes with a story, but this is one that's going to hurt your brain. I know it will.
Like any story you tell doesn't.
So when we were kids, we used to get, we were poor, so we used to get creative with the bologna. And so sometimes we
oh, would, dear Lord.
Stop. Sometimes we would fry bologna on the stove, and then we would microwave it, and then it would turn into a bowl. And then once you have a bowl, you fill it with stuff, and then you would just eat it, and it was delicious. But that's not my number four.
We're not on number four.
I'm going backwards, but you're right. In my brain, I'm going backwards, but you know. Anyways. So mom would... she would try different things, and she, you know, I love my mom to death, but she was not a good cook sometimes. And so she would cook, you know, meatloaf, which was, you know, I liked, but my sisters didn't. She would cook spaghetti. She was good at spaghetti. But then one time we went to one of her relatives, and they gave her a recipe of a food that she knew how to cook when she was a kid, but then she hadn't made in forever. And then she started cooking it, and it was just a casserole. But it was the way she made it. It was like the first time she made it, we were like, Mom, you can cook. And it just blew us away. But she's done it two different ways. And the one way she does it, it is like the greatest food. I would say one of the greatest foods. And then the second way she does it, it is one of those, I wish she would do it the other way. but the reason why I picked this particular one is because I didn't have a lot of great food moments growing up because we ate a lot of garbage. And so sometimes you would just eat something that tasted good and it would just blow our minds because it was food for a change. And so this was one of those, it was just, you know, we were just blown away that mom could actually cook something that we would all actually ask her to cook instead of, okay, that's what we're eating. But it was a good casserole. It's actually a shepherd's pie, but it's a really good
okay.
one. But she does it two different ways. And the one way she does it, I love it. The other way she does it, you know, there are other people who prefer it that way in our family. So we go back and forth. We always fight over it.
So do you see how she softballed that in there about how she used to eat a bunch of garbage?
We're not bringing up that plate of leftovers I had the other day.
Yeah, and the Taco Bell.
Taco Bell is not garbage. Get that out of your brain.
I had shepherd's pie once that I thought I loved shepherd's pie after that, and I couldn't figure out. And then I kept trying it and making it and trying it other places, and I couldn't figure out how this one guy, because I hated him, how he made this such good shepherd's pie that it was good the next day, microwave, so good.
That's how mom's is.
And then I found out it was just because I was really so damn hungry that day.
Aww. Yep, that's probably it. That's exactly what mom's food is. Is like when she made something good, it was probably because we were just tired of eating dirt.
That makes me so sad.
My mom is like sitting there, like she's gonna start texting me, like, food. "Hey, that is not none of that true."
Food to me is so freaking important, and my OMG stuff is—it's not because I don't have the same relationship with food as you do, my love. It's my brain does not even function at a level that normal people do. I'm like way down here, so we're lucky I remember pants most of the time.
She doesn't always.
Not always. Okay, so number two OMG for me is actually from my favorite pizza place, but it's not a pizza. It's not pizza. We have a little Italian, not really bistro, Italian restaurant here that's actually within walking distance of where we live called Amaretto. And Amaretto, to me, has the best pizza. In fact, I don't like ordering from the big companies anymore. If we're going to have pizza, I would rather have them. They're probably one of my best pizza companies ever. But they had a chocolate cake that, OMG, that's good. I mean, yeah. And we got ours. We got the chocolate cake first time to try it because they messed up an order. And so they gave AJ a piece of cake and we shared it. And I mean, it was just the best chocolate cake. I can't make one that good. I'm not sure your nieces can make one that good. Yeah, I'm challenging them. Make one. Let's see. But Amaretto's chocolate cake, that's my number two. So what is your number one, my love?
My number one is lemon cloud pie. It's lemony. It's got some cream cheese in it. And you have to make it with real whipped cream, not Cool Whip. That's against the law. And my niece that makes it hates it, but she still makes it for me every year for Thanksgiving. She also makes it for her dad, but I told her if she only makes one, I'm more important. So she should just make it for me. And I am nice enough to share it at Thanksgiving, even if I put it in the back and I don't announce it. If people know it's there, I will share it.
Yes, because she does hide it.
I do. Then when we're all dividing up the pie at the end of Thanksgiving, I give everybody a little tiny sliver and I just take the whole thing.
A little sliver.
And by the time I finish it, all the other pie is gone and I never even tasted anything other than the dark chocolate pie. But I don't even care because it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I attempted to make said pie and
you found your limits?
I failed.
Oh.
And I'm sure I could do better, but someone kind of looked at me and went, well, it's okay, but it's not as good as my niece's. And then I was like, well, then she can just make it for you. And that was followed by, well, yes, duh, she will. And so I just slinked back and went, okay.
She didn't even follow the directions.
I followed them half-assed. So
I don't know why she's mad.
I'm not mad. I don't get mad. Okay, I do get mad. All right. Lemon cloud pie. All right, Steph, what's your number one?
Have I told you it was the Taco Bell Super Supreme Burrito, would you kill me?
Yes! Okay, I would throw something at you so hard.
All right, then I'll tell you the actual truth then. Okay. It's the cheesy potatoes on Taco Bell. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I needed a reaction. This one comes, this is the last one that comes with the story. And it's also the last one on the list.
Huh, imagine that. The last one of this top five that comes with a story.
So when we were growing up, again, we didn't eat a lot. We didn't ever eat a lot of fancy foods because it was out of our price range. So we didn't have a lot of steaks. Steak was very rare, very rare. And I don't mean like, you know, rare cooked. I mean, it was like if we had a steak, it had to be a special, special, special occasion. Not even once a year. Mom would make a pork steak. Not even pork chops, just pork steak. The little $2 ones that you cook in the oven. They're not great. But that's if we want a steak, it was that and mashed potatoes. Or she would make hamburger steak, which was another steak that she made a lot of, which was usually just, you know, hamburgers that she poured gravy over the top of. So we ate a lot of hamburger steak growing up. So hey. I was growing up, I always thought, you know, you'd see people eat steak and I was like, why would anybody eat steak? It's so gross. I never wanted to eat steak. So for my 27th birthday, my sister and her husband, they wanted to take me out to eat. And they took me to the only restaurant in town because it was a small town. We always had small towns. Actually, it was a bar. And they mostly served bar food, but they also served steak because it was a restaurant. But it was like, it wasn't just a bar. It was an actual restaurant because it was the only business in town. And they said, anything you want. And so they talked me into trying the New York steak. And it was the big one, the big, thick, juicy one. And I took a bite of that and I was like, holy shit, steak is good.
Yes.
Oh my God, now I know why people like it. And I was just like, ah, this is like, it totally blew my mind. And then, you know, every time I've, you know, since then, as you know, as an adult, I've gone out and just, I've learned that, yeah, it actually matters if you buy a good steak versus just somebody cooking meat. There's a difference.
Absolutely.
And it was the first time. Like, I was legitimately surprised that something was good that I was expecting not to be good. But I was like, you know, because I wanted to order not the pork steak, but I wanted to order they had a hamburger, just a big old hamburger. And I was going to ask them if they could put some country gravy on it. And my sister was like, no, you got to try the steak. And I was like, well, okay, since you guys are paying for it, I'll eat the steak. I don't regret that because it was a good one.
Steak is good.
And they bought the expensive one. They bought the New York steak, which was the most expensive one they sold at that restaurant. There may be more expensive ones, I don't know. There may be even better ones, I don't know. But
I broke the mic.
I'm caught on my phone. Okay.
I said hamburger steak, and then she popped a vein.
Oh my God, hamburger steak. That's just nasty shit. Okay, all right, well...
It's something poor people do. We attach a name to things that it ain't that so that we can trick ourselves into thinking that our lives aren't as miserable as they are.
Yeah, hamburger steak is pretty low down the food chain, ain't it, love?
If you just call it a hamburger, then it's...
Yeah, if it's a hamburger, but...
Well, what makes a hamburger steak is that you actually burn it. It's crunchy.
Oh, dear Lord. So many problems with that.
Childhood was fun.
Our definitions of fun differ greatly there, sweetie. To quote one of my favorite movie quotes, I don't believe that word means what you think it means.
Well, you'll notice I eat a lot of Taco Bell and gas station food.
Yeah, you eat a lot of garbage.
The bar's pretty low, so when I discover food, it's usually like, oh my God, this is delicious.
Oh, God help me. Okay, so, my number one is something I don't get very often. I only get, and we haven't been able to get it the past few times when we've traveled.
Not since the pandemic.
When AJ and I travel to go visit her family in, Utah, I make a point of pointing out that we have to go eat at a restaurant that she turned me on to that I was not expecting to enjoy so much, called Village Inn. Now, here in Texas, we don't have any of those. Village Inn...
Like the Denny's
IHOP. It's kind of like a Denny's IHOP thing, but better. They're known for having pies. That's one of their big deals. But they have, you know, normal, I guess would be considered American cuisine, plus breakfast served all day, things like that. They had a sandwich called a grown-up grilled cheese, and it was served on Texas toast, pretty thick sliced bread, Parmesan crusted, just awesome. Three or four types of cheeses. You could get it with ham. You could get it with meat in it. You could get it with tomatoes, all kinds of stuff in there. But it just, it's so freaking good. Now, they haven't served it the past couple times we went through there, but yeah, Village Inn, bring that shit back, because that is, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to describe. I mean, you think about that sandwich, a little bit of ham, maybe some bacon. I know you love, like, your tomatoes. Love your tomatoes. But, OMG, that's freaking good. So damn good. And that's my number one. Grown-up grilled cheese from the Village Inn.
You know what's funny about that?
Oh, dear God.
I was actually going to put the grilled ham and cheese sandwich that they served at the Desert Inn and Cactus Pete's on my list, but then I was like, well, it was a good grilled ham and cheese sandwich, but not worthy of it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a delicious grilled ham and cheese sandwich. It was so. It was one of those, even after they stopped making it and they rebranded, I still would make them make it because my mom was the best.
I was afraid she was going to say a grilled cheese from the racetrack.
I haven't been able to find that one. I go in there and it's never there.
Don't. Food like that makes me sad.
I went to three of them the other day looking for one of them pretzels. And I was like, nobody's got the... Everybody was sold out of the pretzel. And I was so pissed because all I wanted was a pretzel. And then I ended up eating like a slice of pizza instead.
You know, you used to be able to find those places everywhere. Wetzel's Pretzels, Auntie Anne's. I think there was a third one. But you used to be able to find them everywhere. Now you gotta go to the mall, and maybe there's one in the mall, maybe there's one in the strip mall, you never know. I do like a good pretzel. I gotta admit that. Alright, well, that was the number one. That was my number one, which, you know what that means?
We're at the end of the show?
We're at the end of the show.
Do the baby voice!
No!
We're sad, we're crying.
No.
One of these days we'll do the baby voice.
So, first off, we have to give a big, big, big thank you to AJ for being on the show. Love. Thank you.
Hopefully I kind of lived up to the hype.
I think she did.
You kept me grounded. Oh. Robin can't even do that.
No, I can't. Thank you for coming on. Thank you. Hopefully...
That thing's pretty great.
Yeah. Hopefully... Our discussion today helped some people. I know, like I've said, there have been a lot of people who've reached out to me on Facebook and Twitter and talking about how they're going through things with their spouse. So hopefully the insight between me and AJ here, hopefully that'll help you out some. This was really fun. I'm really glad we had her on today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. I've been excited for over a week for this one. If anybody didn't know that.
And we named it Sweet 16 because it is our 16th episode. But as she pointed out, we haven't matured to 16 level yet. So
not yet.
We're trying. I promise.
Not yet. I did go to a
prom kind of last night. I went to a drag show. But it's like a prom.
No, it's not even close.
You didn't go to my prom. I went to prom in Nevada.
Oh, God.
At a casino.
Again, folks, she makes me sad. We have prom in the casino.
Put that in your head. Thank you.
Oh, dear God. So, as usual, I want to thank everybody for listening. We love interacting with y'all on social media. You can reach the show at TransposePod on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach me at Robin Allura on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really give out the whole Facebook thing. You can also interact with the show via email, transpostpod@gmail.com. And you can interact with Stephanie at...
Also, before you all run away because she's boring you with the social media stuff, yes, you can find the Retro Witch at the Spider's Lair, which is all over the internet. We're on YouTube, we're on Twitter at the Spider's Lair, Instagram, the Facebook, and some other places that I won't mention here. But also, you forgot to mention the Patreon. Get to it.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Come on.
By the way, if you heard that sound, that was me rolling my eyes very loudly at her.
I can feel it in the back of my head.
We have a Patreon now. You can find us. Please, please donate, because as I say it every week, I don't want to go back to work.
And it helps with the expenses of the show. And it helps us do great things for y'all.
And it does. We can hopefully help the community. You can find us patreon.com/transpostpod. Now, we normally don't do this anymore, but we are going to remind you next episode, hopefully, is going to be a Q&A via... We originally said Twitter, but it looks like it's going to be all social media. So if you have questions via social media and or email them to us, tweet them, whatever the hell they call Facebook thing.
Ask us anything appropriate.
Ask us appropriate, and we will be judging those. So thank you, everyone, once again, and we will see you all next week.